Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
Yeah, you know, Reardon's with me in studio and we're going to chat soccer. We're going to keep going on cross-channel soccer. Eamon Dunphy joins us. Eamon, how are you?
I'm fine, Damien.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us as always. And Kevin Palmer from Independent News and Media is with us as well. Kevin, how are you?
Evening, Damien. Evening, Eamon. How are we?
Hiya, Kevin.
Eamon, League Cup final Sunday. Man City in action against Arsenal. For which manager, for which club, is it a more important bit of silverware to lift?
Well, it's important for both of them. I think for Guardiola to get a trophy, he knows how important that is, and he said that. But it's also hugely important for Arsene Wenger. And it'll be an amazing match. I mean, both sides like to pass the ball. Wembley's perfect for that kind of game. And I think, you know, City have to be favourites. But Arsenal have got good results at Wembley over the years. Even when they've been playing badly, they beat Chelsea at the start of the season in, I think, whatever they call it now, the Community Shield. And, you know, they gave Spurs a really good run as well recently. So you'd have to make Manchester City favourites. The way they pass the ball, the way they press, the fitness levels and the completeness of their team, I think they could really kill Arsenal if they really play at their best. I mean, De Bruyne in particular, Sterling, they really are something else, you know. But they did lose, you know, in midweek to Wigan in the FA Cup. They rested a couple of players, De Bruyne in particular. But I think they're not invincible. But Wembley should suit them, and the money would be on Arsenal, on City rather, my money.
Okay, Kevin, I'll bring you in a second. But Eamon, has your love affair with cup competitions been reignited off the back of Rochdale last week and then Wigan midweek? It's been a good week for the FA Cup in particular.
Yeah, very much so. And also Newport drew with Spurs in the earlier round, got a trip to Wembley. So the romance of it and the sort of happiness and the dreamlike quality. I mean, Rochdale's result was amazing. The bottom of League One, and they were 2-1 down with a minute to go. They were 1-0 up. They fought. They played football, good football. Martin O'Neill should go and have a look at them, maybe. They were really, really good, and they get a trip to Wembley now. So, yes, it has. I mean, the problem with the FA Cup is sometimes that the big teams don't feel their best sides until it gets to the quarterfinal, semi-final stage. And Spurs did that. But then they got the big players like Harry Kane on. But it was a fantastic day for Rochdale. And before that, in the last round, for Newport. Yes, it does. It warms you to see that kind of, you know, feeling for clubs that really will, and kids and supporters who remember Rochdale drawn at home to Spurs forever. So it is, it does have a romantic aura around it.
Kevin, Guardiola in the news today, being charged by the English FA for, he repeatedly wears this yellow ribbon in press conferences, and it's a symbol of the campaign for Catalan independence. Now, the FA have charged him for it. The suggestion is he has until Monday to answer the charge, so he could wear it at Wembley on Sunday. But is there not a massive sense of hypocrisy in all this, that the English FA are taking issue with him for a political symbol when they fought such a stringent fight against FIFA and UEFA to be allowed to wear the poppy?
There is a certain amount of hypocrisy in there from the English FA, but they don't really they don't care what people think of them in many ways. They've shown that down the years with some of their bizarre decisions that they come up with. I don't think they've been put under pressure here by Jose Mourinho in some ways, because he was the guy who kind of highlighted this issue and making the point that Guardiola shouldn't be allowed to wear it. So Mourinho's kind of, with his little, like the way Alex Ferguson used to do, sort of put his little oar in and put a few seeds of doubt in there and make the FA do something. Now, that's kind of where this has come from. I think, you know, if the rules there, you can't have political symbols, you can't have them. But as you say, when they were so passionate about their poppy story every other year, that it seems to come up, we have a big poppy fiasco every few years. I think they're in a weak position to kind of criticise Pep Guardiola. But the rules are there, and I suppose they would argue they have to see them through.
Do you have a stance on this, Eamon?
Well, I think if it was an anti-racism symbol and you wore it, I'd be for it. I think it depends on the cause. Generally, as a principle, Damien, I would think politics should be kept out of sport. But there are some causes, you know, and that I've no problem with. So I'd be take it on a case-by-case basis. Maybe that's an unsatisfactory answer. But, you know, I think fighting racism in soccer and all sport is hugely important. And if there was a symbol that people wore, I'd be for that.
Yeah.
Catalan independence, well, you know, I don't think that crosses any line, personally. And I think the FA, you know, they should have better things to be doing, to be honest. On the other hand, if a far-right group, or if a coach was a supporter of a far-right group, you wouldn't want it.
Yeah, okay. But like you said, you'd probably just have to have a blanket ban because one person's cause,
yes,
which might not be important to your eyes.
Yeah, I accept that.
Yeah. Kevin, like, okay, we can talk about, like, Carabao haven't been a sponsor who've set the League Cup on fire, and okay, there's a big Wembley game this weekend, but it's completely overshadowed by United and Chelsea and this increasing war of words, which is largely fueled by Mourinho, who's obviously trying to compensate for something by putting so much attention on Conte.
Well, I think Mourinho is clearly in trouble at this point. I mean, United, the result the other night was pretty embarrassing, I think, really. I mean, if the result wasn't embarrassing, the performance was. That was not what we would expect from a Manchester United team in the Champions League. They went to Sevilla. Sevilla, a decent team, but United were pathetic. We've got this bizarre Paul Pogba story sort of hanging over the club at the moment. Eamon's been correctly pointing out for several months that he's not good enough, and that's been well and truly confirmed in recent weeks. And I wonder how much longer Pogba can stay at United. I'd be very surprised if he was sick last Saturday when they played in the FA Cup, or woke up on the morning, decided he was too sick to play. And I think the reason why he was on the bench on Wednesday night is probably because he wasn't overly sick, and he just didn't fancy it last weekend. He was having a bit of a hissy fit, and I don't think Mourinho is going to stand for that for too long. And after what happened to him at Chelsea, I was talking to Paul McGrath about it this week, he can't allow the big superstars to boss him around anymore. And I think if Pogba kind of gets his own way, Mourinho at Man United, it's almost coming to a point where it's him or me, sort of, who's going to stay at United. And if it does come to that, I can see Pogba and Raiola, the agent, cashing in once again, trying to get their big move to Real Madrid, and everybody will be talking about that all summer. But I, Pogba's not good enough to play for Man United at the moment, and I think Scott McTominay is the better pick in the midfield, and I think he'll probably play again this weekend.
Eamon, you've talked about Pogba at length, so we won't go over ground that people will have heard you chat about before, but it is increasingly now come down to this: who has the hearts and minds of the Manchester City fans, or more importantly, if it comes to Mr. Woodward in the executive room backing his record signing, who sells t-shirts and was being talked about as being, you know, the figurehead for Muslim sports people for years to come and everything else, who's going to win this big battle of an iconic brand against an iconic manager?
Yeah, I think Pogba, even if United wanted to get rid of him, who'd take him? And what would they pay for him? So I think they're stuck with each other, and he's not really good enough to be considered, you know, a top player. They don't have a position that suits him. Probably the position that suits him is wide on the left of a front three possibly, like he played at Juventus. But Sanchez, really, that's his best position. So I think the Pogba thing is a sad story. I think Ferguson, don't forget, let him go for virtually nothing. And I think Ferguson was right. He didn't rate him, and I don't rate him. And I don't think anyone who knows the football rates him. And I don't think Mourinho bought him. I think Woodward bought him, and that's the problem that you've identified. But they can't go on indulging him or playing him. One of the people suffering is Marcus Rashford, who's a young player with real ability and real promise. Now, he's been messed around for the last 18 months by Mourinho. Mm. And I think if you look at what Guardiola's doing with young players, improving them, people like Sterling, De Bruyne, Mourinho isn't doing that for Rashford, and he should be. So I think it's a real problem at Manchester United. I really do. And all this stuff with Conte is just a distraction, that Mourinho's pretty good at that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think Pogba's any good.
But I mean, Kevin, away from that, like I'm not a United fan, and you know the closest I've come to United at close quarters over the last couple of months was to be in Moscow and to interview Mourinho afterwards. And you don't get a sense that he's particularly enamoured with Manchester United and considers it the honour that he might say publicly that it is to be the manager of the club. And I certainly don't get a sense from their fans that if either Pogba or Mourinho were to depart tomorrow morning, that anyone would lose a massive amount of sleep over it.
Well, I think that's the second of the two is almost more relevant. You had a loyalty to a point to Van Gaal for a while because they kind of hoped he was going to be the guy that could get them back on track. But a lot of United fans didn't want Jose Mourinho for a variety of reasons. Bobby Charlton didn't want Jose Mourinho to start with either. And he in the end, they kind of got desperate at United and had to go down the road and hit the Mourinho panic button when Pep Guardiola came in. But Mourinho is kind of a... I've been in rooms with Mourinho and he can be the nicest, friendliest, most charming man in the world, but he can also be a fairly loathsome character, quite a sort of a nasty, horrible kind of guy, and we've seen that with the Conte situation in recent weeks. It's been quite unpleasant at times, bringing up match fixing and having a go at his hair transplant and all kinds of weird and wonderful kind of ways to sort of childish ways to have a go at him. And I think United fans, if there was an alternative out there, if a Carlo Ancelotti maybe was to come onto the radar, he's certainly got the gravitas and the kind of the class, if you like, that Manchester United should have. And I think the main issue we've got at the moment is the football they're playing just isn't what Manchester United fans want. They shout attack, attack, attack at Old Trafford, and that is not what you're going to get with Mourinho. He came out of there the other night thinking a 0-0 draw was a great triumph and looked completely bemused when Tony O'Donoghue and a few others sort of almost questioned him and asked him, even daring to ask questions about Pogba. And he looks agitated. He looks to me like he's lost the kind of the spark and the devilment he had in him when he first came to Chelsea back in 2004. And I think, you know, whether or not he'll leave Manchester United this summer, I can certainly see a situation, if Pogba and Raiola kick up enough fuss, that Paris Saint-Germain could come in and make him their next sort of marquee signing. And that could be where that all ends up.
OK, Kevin, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us, as always. Eamon, before I let you go, you have a bet for us for the Punters Council.
Yeah, I think Manchester United-Chelsea will be a draw. And I think City are an amazing price, 4-7, to beat Arsenal. I think they will in 90 minutes. So that would be my double then.
Okay. Eamon, thanks as always. Good to talk to you. Cheers. Okay. Talk to you soon. Eamon Dunphy with us there. Eno Reardon still with me in studio. You're quite intrigued by the political protests.
Well, I suppose, yeah. I mean, it's rare enough that you agree so wholeheartedly with Eamon Dunphy, but he's right. This idea like sport and politics should never mix. Well, of course it does. And you trace a trail in sport or music. It's the biggest platform for political statements. And I think so for the FAA to be cracking down on something like a yellow ribbon is definitely very cynical, because I think, statements like that, as long as they have a positive cause. I mean, it is slightly ambiguous as to what sides are on there, but I mean they've certainly got bigger issues to worry about, such as the racism issue in football.